The views expressed in this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware.
WVUD and UD Information Technologies present Campus Voices, conversations with University of Delaware faculty, staff, and students about their teaching, research, service projects, and other interests. To introduce today's guest, here's your host, Richard Gordon, manager of the IT Communication Group at the University of Delaware.
Thank you, Jason. And today, we've got a special episode of Campus Voices. Phil Simpson from the College of Arts and Sciences. He's going to be graduating in 2015 with a degree in communication. Has been interning for us this spring of 2014. Has been doing a great job in the background when you hear some of the shows in WVUD for the music room and Campus Voices that have been edited together. He's the one who's been doing it. Well, today we're going to turn the microphone over to Phil, and he's going to interview Shobin May and one of the student RAs on some of the programs that they've been developing. Take her away, Phil.
Thank you very much. Now then, how about you two introduce yourselves so I don't risk butchering your names?
My name is Jennifer Azevedo, and I am a sophomore, and I am the chairperson of ISER, which is a service team on the north part of campus.
I'm Siobhan May. I'm the student engagement coordinator in residence life and housing. I started working here in 2011 as a professional, but graduated from the University of Delaware in 2009.
Well, you're both involved in student engagement, so how about you give the folks listening a good example of what student engagement is?
Sure. Student engagement is certainly a buzzword in higher education right now. The way that we like to define it in residence life and housing is really a lot of a partnership between ourselves and students. So what programs and initiatives we can offer to get students involved and engaged outside the classroom, to use the skills and knowledge that they're learning in the classroom to explore their interests and passions. And it's also what our students do when they commit and they connect to something really that interests them, and they take those initiatives and give them life.
All right. Well, can you give us a recent example of anything that might have been done? Like, we just wrapped up Earth Week here on campus, so anything relating to that?
Sure. Our department had a lot to do with Earth Week. Residence Life and Housing specifically hosted three faculty guest speakers that came into the halls to interact with our students and talk with them about their own passions and interests around the environment and environmental sustainability. And it was a really great opportunity for our students to have some informal interactions with the faculty outside of the classroom and see sort of where those passions and interests might be able to take them in the future.
All right. Jennifer, how have things been for you recently?
With iServe, we have biweekly service team meetings, so we are always focused on getting our service output, like every 2 weeks having people from our complex coming and doing some sort of service. And we partner with Green Team, which is one of our sustainability clubs on campus, and they are for the northern part of each part of campus has a Green Team. We partner specifically with Green Team for Laird Northern Campus. And every time we do a service project, we have to stop and think, like, okay, was that green? Maybe we shouldn't hang those flyers. Maybe we'll just send emails this week because, in all honesty, who looks at the flyer in the first place? So we are definitely always making sure that we're checking ourselves as far as, are we making Green Team proud of what we're doing?
Well, I look at flyers, but that's just me. Well, a lot of people see the results. They see the flyers. They see the get-togethers. They see all of the events and the speakers, but how about you give us a more behind-the-scenes perspective of how these sort of things go? What steps do you two take?
Definitely as a student leader, I have to make sure that my executive board is doing everything that they need to do to help me prepare and then present what I'm doing and what we are doing as a team to our student engagement advisor, who is another RA for our complex, and then in turn our complex coordinator. So I'm more of a liaison between the club itself, my executive board, and then the higher up professionals who are just making sure that we're doing all the right things as well while still keeping our service goal as the forefront.
I've come to learn that our students on campus are really the ones that kind of carry things through to the end. They're the doers. They're the ones that kind of bring our engagement opportunities to the forefront. So my job is really to make sure that the structures are there. So Jennifer's mentioned our service teams, which are a new initiative this year. And it was something that we put out there and included because we heard that our students were really interested in service, and we wanted to make sure that there was an opportunity for students within every complex to get together, meet each other, and work with our staff to make sure that they could be participating in service, but also offering service initiatives for other people in their communities. So my job really circles around offering people opportunities.
Could you give some examples of some of these opportunities that you offer?
Sure. So service teams is one of those. So it's a brand new initiative, and every residence hall on campus has one. So Independence has one, Christina Towers, Rodney Hall, and so on. Additionally, we have two major events that happen every year that we work with. One is Day of Service, which is a partnership that we do with Alumni Relations, the Office of Alumni Relations, and we offer three separate hubs on campus that have dozens of projects that connect with a lot of different local agencies for students and community members and alums to come out to participate and offer service in their community. So one such project we had available was making the no-sew blankets, so they're fleece blankets that are tied around the edges, and we made 60 blankets that were donated to Kind to Kids organization, which is a local organization that supports foster kids in Delaware. So that's something that we're particularly proud of. The second example is MLK Day of Service, in which case we hold that in February so that we can have our students that are back on campus after winter session participate, and we took about 75 students off campus to six or seven different projects across the state of Delaware and even one in Elkton, Maryland, to provide direct service to an agency off campus.
You mentioned a bit before you worked with kids in foster care. That's an issue I hold a bit personally. Have you done any more with stuff like that? Or what other sort of agencies have you done for a more local level around Newark?
So for iServe and each different service team on campus, you're partnered with an ally. So it's someone that your service is directed mostly towards throughout the entire year. So for iServe, for the north part of campus, we work with AI DuPont Children's Hospital. So everything, well, the majority of things that we do are directed towards serving AI and doing things for the kids. We do a lot of ready-made crafts and things to deliver to them to have the kids put together, or we'll make them like cool like door hangers and things, and just like show their personality around the complex that they have. And we're actually going there on May 18th to bring a craft to them. So we're very excited to get off campus finally after we've gotten on our feet this first year and bring our presence. Now they know the faces and the people who have been making these things for them all year. And Siobhan can tell you more about how each part of campus has some different ally that they work with.
Yep. So every complex also has their own partner agency, as Jennifer mentioned. So for Independence, it's AO DuPont. We also have complexes that work with Newark Manor and the Jinjugan residents, which are senior residence homes in the area. They provide a lot of different things from sort of planted flower pots for residents to kind of brighten up their room to actually going to the location and helping them run some of their spaghetti dinners and meeting and interacting with the residents. We also work with the Be Positive organization, K's Camp, and Ronald McDonald House, which work with with children in the area that are surviving with and fighting cancer. And we also work with the Emmaus House, which is very local, just on Continental Avenue, which offers a transitional home for people that are between residences and looking for some skill building opportunities to kind of get themselves back on their feet. We have been working with Kind to Kids, as you mentioned, for the past couple of semesters. It's sort of our signature project with them is the no-sew blankets, but they're an amazing organization. There's so many opportunities. So we're definitely looking at more ways that we can offer them support and also get our students familiarized with the different initiatives that are happening in their local community.
It sounds like you've got a lot to do. So that sounds like it requires a lot of students. So how do you go about trying to get students engaged in these sort of projects anyway?
That's something that definitely wasn't a struggle, but something that we had to learn to figure out how to do as we form these service teams. So everybody at the beginning of the semester, you have all of these interest meetings for all of these different clubs. And we held interest meetings for all the service teams on the different parts of campus. And for iServe, we had our student engagement advisor, Tyler Dukes, and our complex coordinator, Trina Nocerino, and they were both there, and they were saying, this is the vision we have, who wants to take it up? So then we had applications for executive board. Once the executive board was put together, we went to a leadership conference, figured out what our role was going to be, and then how to create this interactive environment for everyone in the complex. So once we got our executive board just nailed down and made sure everybody was where they wanted to be, we then had to take every possible way we could think of talking to people and finding people and saying, hey, we know you like service, come do it with us. So it really is a lot of word of mouth, a lot of making it personal to get these people to come out and do these things.
And I think my success really depends on the success of the RAs and the students that get involved with these initiatives, because whether or not people get involved right at the beginning of the semester, the more that they see happening in their halls and the more that their peers participate and enjoy it and really get something out of it, the more likely that they're going to come out to additional opportunities. We also work really hard to offer a big variety of options. So we have our days of service where you just have to come out on the green or come out on the turfs around campus and just have fun and participate. But we also have options like our MLK Day of Service, which takes students off campus for a longer kind of full day interaction with the service agency. We also just recently for the first year had the Residence Life and Housing Alternative Break, where we took a number of students off campus over spring break, and they went to work with students or work with people in that had been affected by Hurricane Sandy and sort of rebuilding homes with Habitat for Humanity. So we definitely look at having a wide variety of options for students. We do have weekly projects that happen in the first year areas dedicated to those agencies. And we also have monthly, several times a month, projects happening in upper division areas. But we're just looking for opportunities for students to get excited and to partner with us to offer more initiatives and more opportunities for students to connect to their community.
That sounds really nice. So how is it like to try and get all of the things in order to, like you said, go affect those people affected by Hurricane Sandy? What sort of bureaucratic process, for lack of a better word, does it take to go through that? You got to probably get a bus. You got to talk to the people up in New Jersey who might want some help with that. What's it like?
It really, I think the first thing is finding your partners on campus. And for us, it's really the Office of Service Learning. So Sue Sarah, the director of the Service Learning over there, is amazing. This process, our first alternative break, took about over a year. Just to kind of see it happen, but it was a project that took about a year and a half from proposal to students going out in the community to serve, and a lot of that had to do with recruiting students and finding students that were going to help build this project. So they found what we called our lab, so Residence Life and Housing Alternative Break Leaders. So our students that over the past semester were a part of the service learning reflection opportunities to see, you know, what are they actually accomplishing by going out in the community. So there are a lot of logistical pieces of where do we house the volunteers and who do they connect with? Again, our partnership with Habitat for Humanity in that case was really helpful. But I think that the biggest part is sort of building up over time to make sure that our students are prepared to understand what kind of service they're offering by going into a different community and participating, especially in a really difficult situation that has some communities have been left in after Hurricane Sandy. So it's pretty complicated, but the good news is that there's a number of opportunities for students across campus to participate in alternative breaks, and the best place to look at is going to be service learning and our alternative breaks directors.
Now, I know that it probably isn't the best thing to ask, but have things ever gone a little off course? You said it yourself. There's a lot of logistics involved. Any funny stories of disaster?
I don't know how funny they are. Have you had any different?
We've had logistical errors that make you realize that you need to adapt before you plan. And I think it's such a hard concept to think about those sorts of things, where we are so gung-ho about this service thing that we're doing, and we get all of our student initiative funds put in and put in all the requests, and then, oh, someone missed that paper somewhere. We're pushing it to next week. What do you have left from the week before that you can work on this week? We've never not done a service event for that reason. We always have something backed up and ready to go, but it's just adapting while you're planning.
We've had some issues where we've misinterpreted when food would be arriving for lunches that have held things up, but nothing too disastrous, I think. I think we really work with some amazing partnerships, and part of the fun part about service is exactly what Jennifer said, which is sort of adapting as you go and knowing that as long as you're entering the situation with the best of intentions, which is to help and to connect to people in your community, it can only go so poorly at that point. So I don't think we've had any disasters yet, but knock on wood.
Good to hear. Now let's go to the opposite end. Any tales of things went better than expected, where things just went above and beyond, where students just gave their all, partners just went perfectly? Anything?
Over close to the Halloween holiday, we iServe partnered with the Community Council and the Green Team for North part of campus. It was ICE, iServe, and Green Team. And we hosted an Oktoberfest. And our intention was just to get people out, first of all, so that we knew what these different groups on campus were doing, and then to engage them a little bit further. So Oktoberfest, we held it in one of the lounges in the James Smith Main Lounge, and we had different stations set up. So when you first walked in, you could paint a pumpkin and like, oh, that's pretty cool. So people are going to walk in the front door and do that. The further you got into the room, the more complex the activities became. So then we had Green Team set up a sustainable craft called Spidergrams, which are like candygrams around other holidays, where you could write a little note and then it would be delivered to someone in the complex. So then engaging community right there. Taking a little bit further, then we had a goodie bag station to eat candy as well as make goodie bags for the students at the Western YMCA of Delaware, which is just right on Kirkwood Highway. And we brought them to the kids there and they loved it. And then a little further in, we had table set up to make cards for homecoming soldiers. So the event kind of unfolded where we really didn't think people were going to stay to do all the things, but we wound up having to kick people out at the end. We're like, okay, like the room reservation's done. We got to go take the food with you. Like, we're glad you came. So it was definitely one of our best events, and we were just baffled about how many students came out and expressed their interest in all of our clubs.
Yeah, I think there are two examples that come to mind for me. The first one is when we started working with UD Day of Service, which is only a few years old at this point. We were approached by the Office of Alumni Relations, and they mentioned, and when we started talking about it, we started getting really excited about an idea of sort of a Blue Hen Nation Day of Service. So what are our alums doing in their clubs across the country? In our very first year of the partnership, we had about 17 different alumni clubs that were doing service on the same day that we were doing service on campus. So that was a really amazing thing to see, that service is not just important to our students, but it's important to our alumni. It's important for our alumni to not only be a part of a community of Blue Hens, but also to be able to give back as Blue Hens. So that was something that we were really proud of and really excited by. And a more recent example, I would say, would be Hair for Hope over in what was housed in our Reading Gilbert Smythe complex. And that was led by one of our student engagement advisors, Amanda Cahill, with the support of her entire complex and the students that live there. They really got excited and got behind the Be Positive organization, and they partnered with a local salon, which donated all of their stylists to come and cut hair to be donated for wigs, but also to style hair for a donation to go to their Be Positive teams to participate in U-Dance. They were dyeing hair for people. They had a raffle. And in one day, in just a couple of hours, they raised over $2,000 and had enough haircuts to go towards up to 70 wigs. So, or they had 70 haircuts to go up to several wigs for kids with cancer. So that was something that we saw was really incredible and grew so much from one year to the next because our students really got connected to the agency and were able to connect to the faces of children that were that they're working to help.
Well, you're talking about growth. So how have things been dealing with growth every year? Like, you feel you got enough people going about doing this? Do you feel like things are organized enough?
I don't think it's ever a matter of having enough people, but just getting more people further and further. You can never have enough. You can never do enough service. So getting these people engaged and seeing if you're doing above and beyond to get these people to come in and do these things for you and do these things with you and help eventually help whatever program this is going towards.
I hope we keep getting bigger and bigger and offering more and more for our students. And I hope that the interest doesn't ever wane. We're driven, or at least I'm driven, by our students' passions. So as long as UD students are interested in giving back to their community, we're going to keep looking for ways to provide resources, provide space, and provide some of our expertise to help students do that.
Well, besides the service projects, what else can you offer our students on campus?
So service projects, yes, that is what we offer, but we find when we get feedback and we just talk around during our events that people don't just come for the service, and it does sound a little bit selfish, but I think it's totally valid that we come and we do these things, and it's engaging a sense of community, which is one of the biggest goals of Res Life and Housing, is to have these people be engaged in their communities. And then we have this time, an hour every other week, to just de-stress. A lot of kids have really hard classes, and they don't have a chance to take an art class because they're a pre-med major or whatever. They can come and paint a door hanger for a kid and not worry about the exam they have tomorrow for maybe an hour. Yes, they're going to go back to studying at the end, but it gives us a chance to de-stress, hang out with our friends, but do it for a good cause.
And our service teams, this is our very first year offering them as an organization for students to get involved with. And it was because students were interested in service and wanted to see more outlets. We've also seen the beginnings of our green teams over the past 3 years, which came from an interest in environmental sustainability. So we developed those as an opportunity for students to get involved. But we also have, in terms of formal roles in the residence halls, our complex community councils. And that's a really great opportunity for students who want to advocate for their community and to plan events to kind of foster a sense of community in their halls to get involved. It's what we call our hall government. So there's a lot of really formal opportunities for students to get involved in the halls. But we're also looking for, we have a number of initiatives that we put on as a department. We work really heavily with the campus planning for international education. Week. We work with Homecoming. We work, which is run by Office of Alumni Relations. We work to support our efforts really across campus with 1743 Welcome Days. So we really are trying to get across campus as much as possible to find places where students are really interested in getting involved and offering our resources, offering our support, and looking for more creative and interesting ways to get students involved.
All right. You talk about how things have been beneficial to students. How do you feel that it's helped you two personally doing all of these service projects? How do you feel it's helped you as a person?
As an undergrad, I was a part of a community service sorority here called Gamma Sigma Sigma. I really thought that, you know, I spent hours of my week doing service, and it was something that really brought me together and helped me meet a lot of friends on campus because I was a transfer student here. But it also really made me feel connected to UD and made me feel connected to Delaware. And when I came back to work here, I was really excited by the fact that service was going to be a part of my position, my professional job. It's helped me understand my local community and sort of the role that UD plays in our region. But it also has helped me connect to the people that I live near and the people that are in my communities. And I feel like there's a sense of giving back, and that's wonderful. But I think that for me, it helped show that it's not just something that you only do as a part of a club, but it can be part of your life beyond that. So for me, it's been really wonderful to keep that as a part of my life. And the fact that it's part of my job just makes my job that much better and that much more rewarding.
I think the service team, because it was something new, it was open to a lot of interpretation, and it really helped me find my niche. I am a sophomore, like I said, so freshman year I was kind of doing the freshman float, where you just figure out what you're doing, and nobody's really sure at that point. And came into sophomore year very, very strong, knowing that service was a giant part of my life in high school. I went to a small all-girls Catholic school, I went to Ursuline, and I knew that I was very passionate about service, and I wanted to get further involved. So it was very opportune timing that the service teams were a formation as I was going into my sophomore year. So it gave me re-empowered to continue with my service and then work on my leadership skills, which then pushed me to apply to be an RA and pushed me to apply for further things on campus. And now I can walk down the green and see like a complex coordinator or someone else in the res life staff and just be like, hey. And my friend's like, how do you know so many higher ups? Like you make a name for yourself, and that's comforting as well as a little bit scary, but it's definitely helped me find my niche in service.
Speaking of higher ups, what was it like interacting with them so much? Was it a bit awkward at first and it just got better, or did you just feel confident and just went right up right away?
I definitely don't have a problem talking to authority figures, which, I mean, it could be an issue. I'm very outgoing, and I know that if something needs to happen, someone needs to speak up and someone needs to do something, either a positive or a negative way. So if I see some need in our service club, and I'll go to my complex coordinator, I'm just like, you know, this is what I'm getting feedback from our students on the team, and I know that I'm comfortable enough to approach you, so let's figure it out. And then she further directs me, oh, you should talk to this person, and she'll kind of pave that path. So once you find someone who knows that what you're doing is important to you and understands your respect for the program, then they can then respect your intentions and help you further them.
And I think that's important to know that, especially in our department, I can speak for that, but I think it's across campus that people decide to work at the university because they care about students, and they really want to put students first. So if any students feel like there's something to say or there's something to do, I'd say 100% feel comfortable to talk to anybody and any of the professional staff at the university or faculty members, because, I mean, that's what we're here for. And I think that's why we get into this field.
Well, this is something I just got to ask. It's getting close to finals. It's getting real close to finals. Do you feel like doing stuff like this might help you at probably the most stressful time in the semester?
That is a question that as I walk to a meeting and I know that I have a paper to write when I get home, just like, oh, why? Where are my priorities today? And it really does help me check myself that I'm at school. I'm fortunate enough. I am bettering myself. I'm fortunate enough. So I need to be doing something for someone else. So, yes, it is stressful. And I worry a lot about my schedule and where it goes. But like I said, we get the feedback from students who are engaged saying, this is my stress relief. This is what's keeping me from losing my mind in finals week. Like, please don't cancel your programs. Please continue. So it is that 1 hour where we just get together and we de-stress. So, yes, it takes up some time, but it's definitely worth it in the end.
This is also time for recognition, too. So reflecting on the year and what we've accomplished. And we have coming up on May 16th from 3 to 5 p.m. our Student Leadership and Service Awards, which is an award ceremony that we hold as Residence Life and Housing to really reflect on and recognize our students for their great work. And so a lot of our awards, we have a Community Service Community Service Leader of the Year Award, along with a Community Service Program Award, new this year, the Service Team Award. So we're encouraging our students to keep doing good work, and we're looking forward to recognizing them for their major accomplishments this year.
You talked about a plan going forward. Is there anything else you might want to talk about going forward that you might like the rest of the people listening to know about?
Sure. One of our major events that comes up every year, as I mentioned, is our UD Day of Service. One of the things that makes this event so great is the participation of registered student organizations and local charities and community service agencies. So we're really looking for any RSOs or any community agencies that want to help participate in those days, either by offering a project or by bringing community members to participate. That'll be coming up in September, but we're already kicked off and started planning that event, so we'd love to have any input from the community members that want to participate or want to contribute as well. So if anybody's interested in being a part of that, that's probably our next big event that's coming up in the fall.
All right, well, that's something big planned for around the start of the fall, but is there anything going on during the summer that any students who are wondering what to do might be interested in?
One of the unique things about Residence Life and Housing is that our students leave us in the summer, so we don't really have a huge community here. So we don't do a lot of programming. However, our agencies are still working, and the partners that we work with are still working to better the community. And there's a number of really amazing resources in the community to connect to agencies and match up kind of your interests with what kind of volunteer work you can do. And two places I'd look for that is DANA, which is a Delaware Association for Nonprofit Agencies. They have a great list of agencies to connect to and a really good resource to do some research about maybe where you can give back to the community. And the other one is to just kind of stop by the Community Service Building in Delaware. We have an entire building in Wilmington that's dedicated to offering community service agencies office space where they don't have to kind of break the bank on rent. And that's a really cool place to go to just see what's going on in the community and get involved. But I'd say that if we don't have projects that are happening in Residence Life and Housing over the summer, that doesn't mean that the agencies and there aren't a million ways to volunteer as well. So if you're local, I'd say check those places out.
And as a service team, which is, again, we only run through fall through the end of spring because that's the only time we're in the residence halls, we are encouraging students to go out and continue to be active throughout their summer and bring back new interests and new exciting things where, hey, over the summer, I met this agency and we did this. I think the University of Delaware could really benefit from helping them and that we could help them immensely. So bringing back your interest and staying engaged throughout the summer.
I think that's a great way to end things, don't you think, ladies?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, it has been a pleasure to have you both on here, and I'm sure you're glad to have had your voices heard.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you, Shoben May, and Jennifer Azevedo.
Well, bye.
Thanks for listening to Campus Voices, a collaboration between WVUD, the broadcast voice of the University of Delaware, and UD Information Technologies. The views expressed on this program are those of the individual guests and do not necessarily reflect the official views or policies of WVUD, UD Information Technologies, or the University of Delaware. For more information about Campus Voices and to find archive copies of this and other episodes, visit our website, using all lowercase letters, go to www.udel.edu/campusvoices. We invite you to tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 for Campus Voices on 91.3 FM, WVUD, and WVUD HD1 Newark, or online at wvud.org.